Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, saints. We are grateful to an almighty God who is righteous and just, faithful and true. We thank him for this glorious sunny day that is a blessing to us as he shines upon us. You are tuned in to Words from the Word, and I am your host, Overseer Paulette Thornton, and we are from Laborers for Christ Ministry, and under the direction and our founder, Apostle Dr. Shawnette Houghton. We are grateful for the ministry opportunity to take over the airwaves for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are opening our session today in prayer, and we want to praise and acknowledge and recognize the giver of life, the true and the living God. And so we will have prayer this morning.
I got a package over there at Leamington.
And you're all live and on the air. And so whatever happens where you are, we hear it. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You can put your phone on mute when you're not speaking. But other than that, I have your lines open. And so we will start prayer with Sister Margaret this morning.
Okay,
praise the Lord.
That is thing is right there.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Sister Margaret?
Yes, I'm
Sister
here.
Sister Margaret?
And perhaps.
Amen.
Yes. Are you there?
I am. And
some friends who don't realize how to put their phones on mute. They're listening.
Amen.
I hear voices.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And because
we'll pray. Father God, we come just saying thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this day, a new day, new mercies, Lord. Thank you for watching over us and keeping us all night and then letting us arise with a mind on you to come and to seek your word and to learn more of your word and to share with each other. We ask your Holy Spirit to just guide us and open our understanding as we go through the word. We ask you to bless each church that's represented, each leader that's represented on this line. And we ask God that you will bless Overseer for leading us through these discussions. And thank you for everyone that dialed in and called. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Margaret. And we do. We welcome you. We welcome you to Blog Talk Radio. And we understand for some, this is new. It was new for me as well. And what we do,
amen,
we put all of the phones on live because we're interactive and we want you to share and to dialogue with us. But because we do that, you have to put your phones on mute. Otherwise, everything that you hear at home, we hear on the line. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This ministry,
amen,
was birthed out of the seven wonders in the word ministry, something that has been presented to the people of God from the heart of God. And as it has evolved in the years, it has come to be shared on live, on the airwaves. And so one of the presentations from this ministry of the seven wonders, looking at the awesome things in Scripture that God presents to us in order to give us this road map of how to get to him, how to walk with him, and what walking with him will look like. And because of that, there are illustrations that he gives, very colorful word pictures that we're given, and it invokes into our understanding more about what the kingdom of God is like. And so what we've done in this particular study in A Shepherd's Look at the 23rd Psalm by Philip Keller, we have viewed the journey as it relates to the sheep being us in the church and the shepherd as being our good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, and all that he has done for us. And so we have on the line Sister Denise, who is going to share the 23rd Psalms with us out of the Message Bible, which always uses an even more colorful word presentation of the scripture. Sister Denise? I have to make sure I make everybody live, and there sometimes is a...
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
All right. So start now?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Thank you.
God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. Even when the way goes through Death Valley, I'm not afraid. When you walk at my side, your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. You serve me a six-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revive my dropping head. My cup brims with blessings. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life.
Amen. Amen. And the imagery that brings into our imagination, if you will, we want to see it from a shepherd's look. And as a shepherd, there were so many things that had to happen, so many elements that needed to be put in place for this journey for the sheep and the shepherd. The shepherd yearly took the sheep on a journey to get to the high ground, because the high ground was where the best feeding was for the sheep, and that's where they kind of hung out for the summertime, where they grew, they had their babies, they became strong, they were nourished, and they were transformed into a flock for the shepherd. So when the shepherd started his journey off with the sheep, they were at what they call like the home ranch, the home base, where there were corrals and there were stables and that sort of thing. So it was an environment that was a little different for the sheep to get out into the wide open land, to get out into the terrain that changed from one thing to another as they journeyed from the home base up to the mountaintop where they needed to go, where the very best things were for them. And so as they did this journey, one of the things that the book Keller brought to our understanding was that the shepherd had to make the journey first. He had to go before the sheep during a season without the sheep so that he could prepare the way for the sheep. He checked every route and every turn and every possible road that they would be traveling on, every field that they would cross. And as he became familiar with everything that the sheep was going to experience, he made provisions. He made adjustments for, he made decisions that this is the way he would lead the sheep, but he would do it like this or like that. He realized everything that he would need to be aware of for the sheep so that he could provide it when he brought the sheep that way. And so he understood the length from one meadow to another. He understood which meadow was the best and which had the best elements in it to nourish his flock, which was the least intimidating for the sheep, because the sheep were very, very timid. They were very frightenable animals. Sheep are the only animals that have to have care. They do not thrive on their own. They actually self-destruct because of the behavior pattern that is instilled in them. And so as a result, they need someone to look out for them. And so this is what the shepherd makes a commitment for these sheep as he collects the sheep in the home base, makes a commitment to the sheep, and then he starts his responsibility. And he takes it in an intense passion, and because it's no small thing. There are many, many things, there are many hurdles that he had to eliminate for the sheep in order for them to navigate and for him to get them to that high land. And so we have want to share this writing with you that was originally done in 2005 at the retreat, and as I said, in the Seven Wonders, where there were seven stations that were created, built actually, so that as you entered this room, you could walk around and you could envision the different places that the sheep were taken through the scenery that had been built. And so along with that, as the Ministry of the Seven Wonders, came this writing as well that summarized the journey. And so that's what we want to share with you today. We have individually gone through it for the last 8 weeks, and this is the final day. We will be looking at a shepherd's look at the 23rd Psalm. And so we encourage those that have journeyed with us to interject your most profound moment during this study as you read the book and as the author presented the shepherd's view of the sheep as well as the journey and all of the different characteristics of the sheep that made for the elements or that caused the shepherd to have to make allowances for the sheep. Sheep would not rest. They would not even lay down unless they were well fed, unless any fear was removed, unless as a group they were in harmony with one another. And so there were different things before he could even bed them down for the night that he had to care for them. Sheep would just jump at the least thing. They were frightened. They were timid. And so if they didn't know, the unknown frightened them. And so it was the shepherd's job to provide an environment for them on this journey out in the open for his closeness to them, to allow them to get to know who he was and to get to trust him to calm them and bring them to a good place to help meet their needs. The sheep also had habits that were very destructive. They didn't like to move. They liked to stay in one place. But in doing that, the sheep would eat not just the tops of the meadows, but they would also eat the root. And so the land would become stripped and devastated. And as they would just stay there between their excretions and things, insects and parasites and disease would be in the land around them. And because of their wool, it would attach itself to them. And so they had all of these things that the shepherd knew he had to keep them moving so that they did not get in one place and then become cause the environment to become detrimental to them. And all of these things, I would like for us to think in our minds just how that parallels with our journey and how the different elements of the sheep's journey are so illustrative of our elements, of our journey from salvation to to spiritual maturity. And so the sheep had natural enemies. They had, and all things were enemies to them because they were frightened at the least thing. Anything from the tiniest parasites and the bugs that would get into their wool to the coyotes and the animals that wanted to consume them, as David shared in so much of his Psalms about the bear and the lion that he fought on behalf of his sheep. And so all of these things, snakes and even herbs and grass things that were poisonous. And the shepherd would have to go through, and he would have to pick these things out. He'd have to know what grew where and how to lead the flock around those things so that they would not consume them and become sick or die. Even the water, they wouldn't drink water from a running stream because it frightened them. Just the movement of the water frightened them. And so the only waters that were calm were often waters that had sat and become stale and stagnant. And if they had drank from those waters, they would have become ill. And so what the shepherd would have to do would be go where the waters were pure, which is why they were constantly moving higher and higher as the fresh water would come out of the mountains, from the mountaintops as the snow had melted. And he would have to dig a place for them. He'd have to dig a well for them and then almost hand-feed them the water so that they would not die of thirst or drink that which would poison them. I hope you see the parallel between their journey and our journey and the commitment that was necessary for the good shepherd in order for us to make this journey to spiritual maturity. And that good shepherd is also a symbol of what our pastors are to be doing in our life, which is why the scripture tells us that God has made pastors for specifically us. And so they have for each person, each group of sheep had a specific set of needs, and that the shepherd would get to know each one. He often called them by name. It became, no matter how big the flock was, it had to be manageable by the shepherd so that he can individually address each need of his sheep. He knew which sheep were the most timid. He knew which ones were the bullies that would often ram one another just to assert their personality to be in charge. And so he knew how to discipline them. He knew which ones to watch because they would wander off, so that he would and he would look so that he could go and get them and bring them back. He counted them every night. Every night he made sure that all were safe. He knew his number, and he sought to always be there for them. So all of these are the things that Keller reveals that a shepherd does to a sheep in the natural. The sheep also, if I miss anything, and anybody on the line, it's one of the things that, you know, you were impressed by of what the sheep relationship with the shepherd was, please feel free to just jump in there. And I understand that there is a little pause between when you take your phone off mute and you actually can hear yourself. And so just be patient and cognizant of that. But just come forth, okay? So the sheep had times where there were certain things that had to be addressed because of the season. And so there were certain seasons where insects and things became abundant. And in a flock, these parasites and these insects, they were just nuisance, and they would just aggravate the flock so intently that they would often bang their heads up against the wall or up against brick and stones and rocks trying to get these insects off of their heads. Because what they would end up doing, these insects and these parasites, they would end up boring a hole and laying their eggs inside the nostrils of the ears of the sheep in their heads. And so the shepherd's job was to anoint their head with oil. And he came prepared. He prepared, and the oil that the shepherds used was threefold. It was made up of three different types of material, because each one was necessary in order to cover that sheep and to protect them from the onset of these parasites and these insects and these things that so tormented them, just tormented them to the point that they would often beat themselves in the head till they would knock themselves out. And this would happen with sheep that had shepherds that had not been committed to love them as the good shepherd was. So these were some of the things that happened in the flock of those that were the hirelings. They were not the shepherds that were given to these sheep out of love. It was not the commitment of their shepherds to really watch over them with love. They were only shepherds for the sheep for their own gain. And so they really didn't care just how the sheep would suffer. They just wanted to establish their own goals by using the sheep. But the good shepherd made sure those things were not spoken of his sheep. So his sheep looked good. His sheep was his reputation. So as people saw the condition of his flock was how they judged the shepherd that kept the flock. I hope you see the parallel that this natural process reveals in our spiritual process. And so as they went through these various different terrains, they had to go through valleys. And they had to go through valleys that caused the sheep to be so frightened, because in the heights around the valley is surrounded by mountains. And up in these cliffs and things, that's where the predators would lay watching to pounce on one that had wandered off, or one that appeared to be weak, or one that was a straggler and he was behind and had not kept up with the sheep and stayed in the fellowship of the flock. Hallelujah, Jesus. And so that as they went through this valley, the good shepherd would have to present to them the calming environment that would overcome what they actually saw, which was the valley and shadows. You ever been somewhere and you see in the corner of your eye, you see a shadow, and it kind of makes you jump? And so just imagine being a timid sheep out in the open, you know, with all of these things happening, even brambles rolling by could stampede a sheep, a flock of sheep, because they were so frightened, so easily frightened. And yet one of the tools, along with this ointment and things that the shepherd had, and he didn't come with much. And often these things were there because he had gone that route and he had left those things there because he knew that's when it would be needed. And so one thing that he did have, the two things, was his rod and his staff. And his rod, we saw, was a representative of Jesus Christ. It was the thing that he used to pull their wool back in order to examine their flesh. So, and wool is often represented as our flesh, humanity. And he would use that staff as well to hook them if they got it into a downcast position, or if they had gotten into a place where they needed to be pulled out of bramble or stuck somewhere. He would use that staff with that hook in order to bring them closer to him. Oftentimes, and he would use that staff for when the sheep had calf, and that calf needed to be brought to the mother. He didn't want to touch it, because if he did, the mother would smell the scent of the shepherd, and the mother would not nurse. nurture that sheep, that lamb. And so what he would do, he would use his staff to bring that lamb to his mother and to so that he could be nourished. And he used a rod for correction of the sheep that were being inappropriate in that head bunting. He would also use that rod to beat the ground, to beat out any snakes or things that had been in there lurking to attack the sheep. And so that rod, representing the Holy Spirit, was that which kept them in the right direction, and the environment around them was revealed through the use of this rod. And so as they continued this journey, and it was an awesome trip full of so many things. And so I want to read to you this writing, okay? Do we have any insight, input, question, comment? You would have to take your phone off mute. Anything in your reading and studying that you wanted to bring out? Oh, I got somebody. I got to put you on. I make you live. Praise the Lord. Again, you're able to share and chime in. You just have to take your phone off mute. Amen? Amen. We'll continue. Yes. Okay, David's desire to express his heart to God brought him to consider their relationship as that of a shepherd and his sheep. David chose the one thing he had full and intimate knowledge of. It was the perfect illustration, the perfect example in nature that would clearly communicate how important God was to him and how much he valued their relationship. David wanted God to hear from his heart how deeply he needed God and could not live without him. David saw himself as a sheep and God as the shepherd. David understood the importance of a shepherd with a heart for his sheep, a shepherd with the skill, resource, and ability to attend to the many needs of each sheep and to ensure the safety and well-being of the flock. The commitment of the shepherd to the sheep involved faithful, sacrificial planning for the journey the sheep must take, the journey that would take a year and was necessary if the sheep were to grow and to thrive. The shepherd has to have the patience and love to lead them. The shepherd had to have an intimate, full knowledge of the habits and character traits of each sheep in his flock. He had to know that ones that were prone to wander off, the ones that were stubborn. The good shepherd named all the sheep in his flock. He called them by name. And if there are other sheep grazing around together, his sheep would respond to his voice and not the voice of any other shepherd. There is no other livestock that requires more careful handling, more detailed direction, and intimate care as do sheep. They must be constantly reassured and their many fears quieted before they will graze or even lie down to sleep. Prior knowledge and preparation of the path of the sheep are to take is essential. He had to go ahead of the flock and eliminate any toxin vegetation along the way by hand, a tedious process that only a loving, committed shepherd would undertake. He would leave nothing to chance, nothing short of a laboring commitment to vigilantly watch over his flock day and night. Nothing short would do. The shepherd has to understand how insecure and frightened they are most of the time. He has to be able to anticipate reaction of the flock to many hazards and dangers that they will encounter, and he must understand how agitated they get without the physical presence of their shepherd. He must know how prone they are to disease, how they are tormented by insects. They often, as I said, bang their head against rocks to try to rid themselves of the parasites. He must guard against the habit of the sheep that can harm them and place them in jeopardy. He has to provide the care they need. The shepherd prepares a mixture to put on their head that will help them survive the attack of the insects and the parasites that lay eggs in their heads and the hatched larva that bore into the sheep's brain. Anointing their head with this mixture also insulated them from diseases and scabs that is passed on from one sheep to the other by the habit of the sheep of rubbing their heads together while playing. Sheep are very social with one another. The mating ritual of the male is the headbutt to gain control in the mating season, and it is rendered harmless by the anointing mixture on their heads. So they would often, without this mixture, as they rammed one another's head, some would die. But this, with the anointing oil, it would just, the blows would just slide off and wouldn't cause permanent damage. Most of our contamination by the world, by sin, is what defiles and diseases us spiritually, comes through our mind. Our thoughts, our ideas, our emotions, our choices, our impulses, drives, and desires are all shaped and molded through exposure of our mind to other people's mind. The only way to free our mind of the world's influence is to be conscious daily, hourly, of the purging presence of God's Holy Spirit applying himself to our mind. And at this point in our sharing, I would like to ask Minister LaTanya to read one of the daily word messages to us, because I feel it ties it into exactly what we're studying, and it shows the very need of we have. And it is actually Christ talking to us. So as we awaken this morning, this is a message I would like for us to share and carry with the rest of the day. Minister LaTanya?
Yes. Demonstrate your trust in me by sitting quietly in my presence. Put aside all that is waiting to be done and refuse to worry about anything. This sacred time together strengthens you and prepares you to face whatever the day will bring. By waiting with me before you begin the day's activity, you proclaim the reality of my living presence. This act of faith, waiting before working, is noted in the spirit world, where your demonstration of trust weakens principalities and powers of darkness. The most effective way to resist evil is to draw near me. When you need to take action, I will guide you clearly through my spirit and my word. The world is so complex and overstimulating that you can easily lose your sense of direction, doing countless unnecessary things to dissipate your energy. When you spend time with me, I restore your sense of direction. As you look to me for guidance, I enable you to do less but accomplish more.
Amen. Environment. Amen. That's exactly the environment that we see the shepherd, providing for the sheep, and how he describes it as, you know, you use up your energy, and the sheep would. They, in their fear of running around and being frightened and frustrated, they would wear themselves out and often become cast down. And that cast down state was a lot of times because of their wool was so heavy, they had picked up so much of the debris around them. And it weighed them down, and as they sat, they roll over on their back, and they can't right themselves up again. And they had to have the presence of the shepherd to be there in order to right up them, and they call that being cast down, and to get them from that cast down position. And then it might be necessary for the shepherd at some point to actually trim their wool, which is representative of flesh. And so we see in that, again, you can put your phones on mute when you're not speaking, okay? And so, again, that represents that environment that the sheep and the shepherd experience in was revealed in this daily word that she just shared with us. And though the shepherd knows how the sheep hate getting its wool trimmed, he understood trimming was necessary to keep this wool at a safe length. When its wool gets weighted down with moisture, debris, and filth, they lose their balance and, as I said, become cast down. A cast down sheep is one that ends up on his back. The shepherd must turn the cast down sheep upright with his staff, physically restoring the sheep to his proper position. And he has to use the staff because the sheep is so frightened, he's kicking and squirming, he's panicking. And what he does is, in that position, because sheep have three stumps, that the first becomes blocked. And once that becomes blocked, it would cause air not to get in, and then the sheep would actually suffocate himself because of this movement. And kicking and thrashing around caused him to actually, his muscles to expand on the inside. And so the shepherd wasn't able to just walk to him because of this kicking and flaming or fledging around. And so what he would do, he would use his staff to reach out. And then the sheep became familiar with the staff. He became familiar with that touch and knowing that, oh, that's something that's going to help me. And so that would help calm him down. Often they say that the shepherd would start singing as he approached the sheep. So they were used to the soothing a sound of the shepherd's voice and of the song that the shepherd would sing over them and of him calling their names. And so all of this would calm them down so then they could be able to be rescued. In the scripture, the priest was not allowed to wear wool when entering the Holy of Holies. Wool spoke of the self-pride and of personal preferences, which was not tolerated in the presence of God. Wool is depicted as the old self, as life, self-life. Wool was representative of the outward expression of an inward attitude and the assertions of our desires, hopes, and aspirations. The old self is the area of our life on which and through which we are continually in contact with the outside world around us. Here is where we find the clinging accumulation of things, of possessions, of worldly ideas beginning to weigh us down and drag us down and hold us down, and we become cast down. The shepherd is always leading them to richer grazing ground and fresh water. They have to be kept on the move constantly and never left to graze on their own. For the sheep will blindly follow one another along the same path until the ground is filled with ruts, and then the ruts become gullies, and the sheep become a bag of bones on ruined lands. They will destroy the grazing area by consuming everything, including the roots of the plant, leaving the land ravished and barren and the ground trampled down and stripped, infested with their waste and parasites that will torment them. But when kept on the move, they improved and they actually enriched where they grazed, which is why they say, "And goodness and mercy shall follow me because if the sheep are well kept, wherever they go, when they leave it in a better condition than it was when they got there. Because what their life did and their time did in that pasture was to stimulate the growth of the things around them as they nibbled the top. It stimulated growth and made it lush and thick, and their waste, just enough of it, would be like the perfect fertilizer. But one of the things that the shepherd had to do, he had to constantly check the land so the balance was still there, and it hadn't become out of balance and was becoming infested with their waste. But when kept on the move, they were a blessing to the land that they were in. They weed just enough to stimulate the soil and fertilize the area, leaving the places that we've been better than it was when we got there. The land flowing with milk and honey was the place the shepherd had properly led his flock through and caused the natural balance to be restored and the land to flourish with all that is good and pleasant. Praise God. Sheep do not have the instinct to find what will keep them alive. They are so fearful, they fear the way to the life-giving power of the rich tableland. They would stop the journey if left on their own and never make it to the place of the rich blessings of God. But through the valley is the only route to the high country with its lush green summer ranges. The long summer trek will be spent in the close companionship and solitary care of the good shepherd. Day and night, the sheep and the shepherd watches over them. This part of the journey is in the background to rugged mountains, rushing rivers, avalanches, rock slides, and poisonous plants. There are many life-threatening dangers lurking in the shadows between the mountains. The good shepherd is willing and able to provide the protection we need from their ever-present stalkers. Lions, bears, wild dogs, coyotes, all natural enemies of the sheep, lay waiting and hiding and watching for a moment of opportunity to slip in among the flock and cause a silent slaughter. But this path leads to the purest water source, the finest ground, and the best place for sheep to thrive and for their young to grow strong. The shepherd wants only the best for his sheep. The newly melted snow from the mountaintop will provide an abundance of ever-flowing streams of pure water. These streams will provide the life-giving refreshment his sheep need, unpolluted and free from disease-causing insects that torment the sheep. He has superior advantage over the enemies of the sheep, because he's armed with his rod and his staff. The shepherd will accomplish his sheep through the shadow of death. The shepherd will rely on the rod to protect his sheep from danger. The rod is an extension of his arm and used as a defense as well as a deterrent. The rod is a symbol of his strength, his power, and his authority over his situation. In Scripture, God's rod is an extension of his mind, his will, and his intentions for man. God's word will meet and master the difficulties of every situation and every circumstance. The sheep derive great comfort from the presence of the rod. Their fears are dispelled, and they are able to continue their journey through their valley filled with shadows of danger. Just as she shared with us that very presence that we stop and acknowledge of God every day will help navigate through the complicating and confusing and overwhelming condition that the world is in. the sheep derive great comfort from this presence. They feel that their fears are dispelled, and they are able to continue their journey. The rod also is used to discipline the sheep. The shepherd will throw the rod through the air in the direction of a sheep getting too close to danger, like a dangerous plant. And the whistling sound it makes as it goes through the air will redirect the sheep back to the flock and to safety. Ah, when we listen to the voice of Holy Spirit. When a sheep goes under the rod, he has been counted and examined. The shepherd moves the wool back with the rod to check his skin for hidden problems, wounds, and any signs of disease. He looks them over with great care and makes sure all is well. The staff, a symbol of his concern, is used only for the care and management of the sheep. It is designed, shaped, and adapted especially to the needs of sheep, and it is used only for the benefit of sheep. A staff speaks of all that is long-suffering and kind. The shepherd is able to keep the sheep in close, intimate contact with his staff. It is used to communicate the concern and presence of the shepherd. He uses his staff to lift the new lambs, as I had shared before. The sheep are timid and shy and tend to keep their distance from the shepherd, but they allow him to draw them with his staff. The shepherd uses his staff to gently guide the sheep along a new path. The shepherd rests the staff on the sheep's side and applies a gentle pressure. With long suffering, he draws us. This assures the sheep they are going in the right path, and as they walk, the staff is against their side. It's as though they are walking hand in hand with the shepherd. They enjoy the special attention, and they are greatly comforted. The staff also is how the shepherd will lift the sheep out of endangering situations like being cast down, and what he uses to free the sheep from entanglement they have gotten themselves into. The word will do that, you know. With loving kindness, the good shepherd gains the trust of the sheep. They are drawn to him and will go wherever he leads them. The sheep of a lesser shepherd will never know or understand the rewards, benefits, and blessings of belonging to the good shepherd. They will never overcome their fears. They have no one to trust who can lead them to the tableland experience, no one able to make the sacrifice needed to get them to the table. The joys and delights the valley path leads to will never be available to them. For only the good shepherd can transform the sheep to go beyond their fears, to transcend their limitations. It's only when the sheep are no longer subject to its natural and its nature, its characteristics, its traits, and its habits, but that they are empowered by the presence and love of the good shepherd, will they be able to go up to the mountain, to that wealthy place, because they have trusted in the hand of the Lord and the hand of the good shepherd, and it has brought peace and quietness to their flesh, and they now possess his spirit. They can make such a journey on his power. All has been provided by the good shepherd, not temporarily, but permanently. The investment of the good shepherd in his beloved sheep secures them a place with him always, and they shall not want for anything. And then they head back down the mountain as winter is coming, back to the home and back to the safety. And as they do, they realize that this relationship is forever and that they can trust and know that the Good Shepherd will provide all they have need of. And that's our journey.
Amen.
That's the summary. Amen.
Yes.
Questions, comments, sharing.
Overseer.
Amen. Yes, ma'am.
Overseer.
Yes.
I can you hear me well?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes.
I just wanted to say that me being the visual aid person, I really appreciate the contrast of, in my mind, a question popped up is to say, you know, wow, I wonder how long was that from start to their journey. But do we know how long our journey is? God knows. Our shepherd knows.
Amen.
And mm-hmm. he knows how long it's going to take us in the valley and all that for us to go through.
Mm-hmm.
He watches over us and he keeps us. And that I just think that this is one book that has just really, really just brought us from human nature to knowing and to realize the job of the shepherd to make us be
mm-hmm.
more grateful, you know?
Yeah.
To be grateful. Yeah. It's been a good journey to let you know about your journey.
Amen. Amen. And I think it also brings us to an understanding that there are going to be times when it's going to look different, and it's okay because we are moving. We're always on the move, and so we should never get to a place, you know, where we're just settled and this is it, you know, but it's all a constant moving because it's necessary. And as it is with the sheep, if you stay beyond your season in a place, then that place no longer becomes a blessing. It becomes a curse, and you become a curse in that, you know. But if you continue to follow the direction and the will of God and we stay on the move, we see that the terrain, if you will, is going to look different. Sometimes it'll look peaceful, it'll look calm, it'll look scary, it'll look amazing, you know, it'll look, you know, all of these things, challenging, and yet that's all part of the journey. And so the journey now, I feel like this shepherd sharing lets us see that there is no unknown. I don't have to, because we fear the unknown. But the unknown has been revealed. And that's what God said he would do for his sheep. He would reveal the mystery. He'll make us have enlightened eyes where we don't have to see things the way they are around us, but rather see them with a God's eye view, because he knows what's ahead. So it's like, don't look at that. Don't worry about it. You just keep trusting and following me, which is what the shepherd does with the sheep. And so it's like, I know this looks scary. When you come to that mountain, when you see, you know, those challenges like stampeding you, look like they're running right at you, he's saying, no, don't move. Just calm, because I got this. I got it covered. And then he'll shift you. And actually, it's almost as though he just lifts the sheep up out of the danger. And then when he places them down, the danger has passed them. Hallelujah. I just love that. I did. And so he lets us see this visually with sheep so that as we experience it naturally in our walk, we have a frame of reference and we have a prophetic declaration to make, because what's ahead has already been revealed to us. Maybe not the specifics, but the condition of our existence has already been revealed. We will have peace. We will have unspeakable joy. Those are the things that we know we have. So those are the things that are even when we don't see them, we know they exist for us, and we praise God till we get in them, or as we go through the valley. And so these are because we've already has seen proof of what the Good Shepherd can, will, and has done. And so our faith becomes in him and not in our situations or those things that the world would challenge us in, thinking the end has to come as the world has defined. But we realize that God overcomes the world, and what the world sees may be what they have to experience, but it is not what the way it's going to affect us, because he'll make all things work to our good. Okay, he'll make those valleys be our shelter. Okay, and the valleys and the rugged places on the mountain will become our steps that we step upon to go to that high place of spiritual maturity and in our relationship with him, in our love relationship with him. And so I love the illustrative nature of this particular psalm and this author's presentation of what actual sheep and shepherds do. And so even as knowing it, and I think all of us have maybe even memorized this particular scripture, most people in church, they know this scripture by heart. But I did not know what it looked like as a real shepherd and a real sheep, because I didn't have that knowledge of agriculture and, you know, the environment that sheep are in. And so just the study of the sheep themselves lets us see the great wisdom of God to use it as an example to illustrate our nature and his nature and our relationship together.
Oh, Sia. You know what I did?
Yes, ma'am.
I don't know. I classified the sheep as babe in Christ. And I classified. I went that way. I classified the shepherd older. In church, you know, the old season members and leaders in the church, because I had one, I think, that was a Sunday school teacher, and she called me and was asking how come I didn't go to Sunday school, and I told her, well, I had a part-time job on Sunday, and she said, well, I'm so interested in you and your new babe in Christ. And I'm worried about your soul. And old low down me says, I'm not going to let her think more of my soul than me. And I went to church the next Sunday. I let motor me. And then they was giving out the diplomas every 3 months they gave out for everybody being in church for 3 months. Mm-hmm. And she said, see now, Bella, well, I got perfect attendance. I said, now she thinks she's something. I'm going to be her. Motorizing.
Oh, Lord.
She's my best friend because she thought more of my soul than I did.
Amen. You know, and isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome when we can see that alive and the power it has to transform us? And that's the love of the good shepherd. Praise God. Praise God. Any more comments? Yes. You're live. You're on the air. You have opportunity. You have to take your phone off of mute. Sometimes we start talking and forget, oh, yeah, I'm muted. But you can take your phone off and you can share. We just want to make sure everybody that wants to has an opportunity.
Amen.
Well, our hour is well spent, I believe. I thank God for you and for your presence here with us. I want to share good news. The mission trip to India has ended powerfully and very successfully, and the bishop is back home. Praise God.
Praise.
And the news is great for the kingdom.
Good news.
Great kingdom.
Amen.
Absolutely. I encourage you to share with us as Bishop is going to share. And I'm sorry, say that again.
There is something. Hello? I wanted to share.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Okay. So earlier you said that the wool is a representation of the outward expression of the inward attitude. You said that the shepherd uses the rod to pull back and check for, like, parasites and whatnot, which means, well, which, you know, translates to me that, well, translated to me that sometimes the outward expression doesn't really correlate to what's going on the inside sometimes. So really, to me, that kind of translated to, like, the shepherd has to be very observant to know that it might be something going on with the sheep that he can't see, like, immediately, to know that he has to check inside and, like, actually search for something that's, you know, transpiring on the inside. That was pretty, you know, deep to me.
Amen. And that's, you know, and that's why the rod is symbolic of Holy Spirit. And that's Holy Spirit's job. He's on the inside. And he's the one that brings conviction. You know, he's the one that measures, you know, the love that's in our heart. And he's the one that will reveal to us that which is coming up wanting. And so that Holy Spirit is the one, that rod, that corrects. Because that's the other use of that rod, is to correct. Whereas the staff is used as a defense. And that's Jesus Christ. He defends us. He has caused us to be found not guilty. So he's defending, and he is a deterrent. Because of his blood covers us, then the enemy can't get to us. And so those are the functions of the things that God has placed in and around us. And we look at God as the owner of the sheep, and the shepherd was the one he has appointed to care for his sheep, which is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So yes, I love the implication of that. And then one of the things that is true in the book brings out as it relates to that rod being pulling back that flesh and checking the act, pulling back the wool and checking the flesh, that the sheep are actually dumped and submerged in this ointment so that the ointment gets all over them, not just their heads. So actually, each sheep is submerged in this ointment. I just love it, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is just awesome. It is awesome, the parallels and the implications of this. It gives me goosebumps sometimes as I learned how well the natural direction that the sheep had to, or the life of the sheep, how it so paralleled us, and how the Good Shepherd paralleled the Lord Jesus Christ in his handling and managing of us. As throughout the book, the author indicates that the Good Shepherd manages the flock flawlessly. You know, there's not many things that are flawless in life. But what this Good Shepherd does is flawless, leaving nothing undone. And just as he's gone the route before us, and Jesus died, he came first, and he lived here, and he experienced every temptation that was known to man, and he made a way of escape. And that's just what the shepherd does for the sheep. He goes before them. He makes the pathway straight for them. And that which he knows they must endure and go through, he makes sure he has a plan for that as well that will work for their good. And so just such an analogy of what our walk is, and how confident, you know, how we can have a confidence in Jesus Christ. And so our attitude in our trials is what causes us to grow spiritually and to become righteous, to be made righteousness by our attitude of trust in the work of the Good Shepherd. Because he does it all. The sheep don't do anything. All they have to do is follow him. That's it. They do nothing. Right. They don't have to look for food. They don't have to get water. They don't do anything.
Right.
Absolutely nothing. nothing but reproduce. That's all they got to do.
Right.
And then he injects into that process, okay, holiness, as he covers their heads so that as they navigate, they don't hurt themselves. In every aspect of the sheep, the hand of the shepherd is there bringing it to perfection. And that's what Christ does.
But you know what, Overseer?
Yes, ma'am.
I really love it in the parallel of the shepherd knowing all of his sheep. He knows them individually. And you know, and God knows us. He knows Margaret. He knows Paulette. He knows everyone by name.
Amen.
By name.
Absolutely.
And he knows that when we get to a certain part in the journey, the same as the sheep, perhaps the hill was a little higher. Some could run up a little faster than the others.
Mm-hmm.
But yet and still, he knew who would be lagging behind. Okay, but he still watched over you. He still, regardless of whether you were the last one, he brought you up from the rear. And I just think that is just wonderful.
Hallelujah, yes. He knows the stragglers. He knows the stubborn ones.
Yes.
And he looked for them. You know, he does, not just he knows, he looks for them. He's like, okay, now so-and-so is apt to do this now, so let me look where they're at, Like you say, the heel is getting stiff, and I know she moves slow. Let me find her. And that's what my staff is for. So my staff is going to offer that heel up that ground or that challenge, whatever the challenge is. My staff will just, and it just lay on the side. It don't push you up, prod you, just lay beside you, and you kind of know it's there. And like the book say, it's like walking hand in hand. Hallelujah.
My God.
So you get a little help going up, going through your challenge. And you got somebody there to hold your hand. They got that ain't condemning you, ain't trying to tell you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do the other. No, I'm with you. I got this. I'm with you. I got the rear guard. I'm here. You know, it always says tender and gently, Jesus God. You know, with loving kindness and patience and long suffering, God and forbearance. You know, no matter how stubborn I am, there you are again, being stubborn. Now I got to use a hook on my staff for you, but I'm going to use it, okay, because I'm going to bring you back, because that's my job. That's his job. That's his commitment. He has committed, it's not even a job, he has committed his life to that. His life has no other purpose but to do us.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
This is your time, and you can share. You can give your insights. Amen.
Thank you, God.
I mean, don't be timid. It's okay. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is such a beautiful fellowship. This is a beautiful Friday.
Yes, it is.
Praise God. Yes, and each one of you are very important.
Yes, praise God.
Yes. And you can just jump right in there.
So have you decided on our next book? Have they made a decision on what the next reading?
Okay, very good. I believe that we're coming to a final conclusion, and it's going to be Abide in Christ by Murray. Oh, wait, I'm looking for my card because it's off the card. But, yes, I do believe it's going to be Abide in Christ.
Abide in Christ.
Lawrence? Yes.
Okay.
Abide in Christ.
Who's the author?
Yes, I know. I'm getting it right. I thought I had everything set up, but you know, and then it's like, okay, where'd that go? Okay. Come on. So then you have these devices that don't want to do what I say. And I wrote it on a card, but I can't find the card either. But that's all right. I got it. Okay.
As she's looking for it, I would like to thank those that I did mention to them about listening. I really appreciate it, and I hope you enjoyed the discussion as it went along. And we pray that you will share with others.
Amen. Thank you for giving our welcome to our visitors.
Hallelujah.
But you know what? It is. It's an awesome fellowship. Come on, what's the man's name? Oh, Andrew Murray. Okay. Andrew Murray. M-U-R-R-A-Y. I'm sorry?
Okay, no, I'm sorry. Can you repeat it again, please?
Sure. It's Andrew, A-N-D-R-E-W, Murray, M-U-R-R-A-Y. And it's Abide in Christ, A-B-I-D-E. And I had the scripture reference, and I said, I can't find it.
And also, Overseer, did you notice if it was audible?
You know what? I was trying to, and it's actually the scripture reference is John 15 and 4, basically. I didn't do all of the locations, and the one that I did, I didn't see it. But I believe that it, and I'm not, I want to say, real familiar with the format of it, but I believe the way it is that we'll be able to actually read it every week. So.
Okay. When you say we'll be able
online.
To read it every
online. I mean, together.
Online?
I mean, you know, together on the phone.
Oh, okay. Okay. On the telephone line.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Okay,
so
they're like little bits, tidbits of abiding in Christ.
Okay. So even if we can't get it audible, that we can still follow along with everybody
right.
else. Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
On
that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. That is a part of what we really try to do.
Right.
You know, make sure we're able to do it.
Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Good question. I did struggle with trying to pick something, and then we had a suggestion, and it's like this is such a continuation of our fruit of the Spirit and of the sheep and shepherd, and then abiding in the flock. How do you abide in the flock? You know, what does that look like? So now this is more of the journey of what the sheep, you understand that the type of things that, how it developed them, abiding in Christ, abiding with the shepherd, being a part of that flock, and
right.
the benefits of what being a part of the flock will look like. And so that's just going to be another one of our presentations this year.
Okay.
And I do. I encourage you, if you have something you want to share and you want us to look at, just let me know. All you have to do is just let me know. And I don't know if people know, but I can be reached at, what's my number? 630-701-4303. And that's, again, 630-701 4303. Call me anytime, all the time. God has blessed me. I am retired. Hallelujah.
Even though
currently
thing.
We are really in class and we're working hard, but it's such a blessing. It's such
okay.
a blessing. And I do.
Thank you, Lord.
I absolutely. I welcome, you know, your input, and because God lays on our hearts, we don't know, you know, we're walking together, and so this is, like I say, this is our Friday fellowship, and praise God, we can do it in our jammies, you know,
right?
Praise
sometimes
him in our eyes,
hallelujah.
Praise him.
We don't want to FaceTime, absolutely not.
No.
We are one in the spirit. Absolutely.
Amen.
And so I do, I encourage you, you can also go into your computer online and hear all or any of the past sessions that we've had. They are archived. And so you can go online to www.blogtalkradio.com/LFC, and you can get any of the past episodes. And not just of this session, but of all of our Blog Talk sessions on this particular line. So you can go and listen to the other programs that are available and the other ministries that go forth on Blog Talk Radio. There's over 20 of them, all types of the day and night and all days. There's all worship, Tehillah worship on Sunday evenings at 10. By our pastor, Hooks. We have focus groups on Saturday with Apostle Overton. I think hers is at 9. We have prayer groups as well online on Blog Talk Radio. So there's a lot of variety of programming that is available through Neighbors for Christ online. It is fine that you can go back and just hear some of the past and the archived information and then to even choose to, you know, listen to those programs. So, again, you can get all past information. You can call me and get it, or you can, it's at www.blogtalkradio.com. That's all one word. / Labors for Christ Ministry, and that's all one word. And when you go there, you can get all the past sessions of Word from the Word. Yes.
All right. Well, thank
Amen.
You.
Amen.
God
Amen.
Bless you all
yes.
here.
Thank you.
And God bless all of you. Hallelujah. All
bless
right.
you, too.
Do
thank
enjoy
you.
Your
bless
day.
You. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless.
God bless you.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Great teaching, Overseer. Great teacher.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you, Evangelist. I didn't know you were on the line. And I have
yeah,
you speak.
I was just definitely hanging out and just listening. And so it was really fruitful and definitely just a lot to take in. So I loved it.
Amen. Bishop?
Yeah, that's me.
Bishop? But you
yeah.
should have shared
yeah.
about the India trip. We got the India man on the line.
Oh,
yeah. We want to say glory to God and welcome yeah. home. Welcome home. Welcome home.
Thank you so
Amen.
Much. Thank you
Amen.
So much. I came home and I saw picket fence signs and I was like, wait, what's going on here? It's like you've been stopped. I didn't check the news because
yeah,
I didn't have any televisions out there. And, you know, my phone
Jesus.
Was like on this limited plan where all I could do is text out. And so,
Amen.
You know, I didn't know there was so much going on and people was being forbidden to enter into America. So I was just, you know, looking like, okay. But India was definitely wonderful. It felt like being in the Holy Land. Namely, most of the experiences I had, it's an honor to walk in the footsteps of Christ. You know, the Bible always teaches that Christ identified with man by becoming a man, fully God and fully man. But I think it's an honor and a privilege when you can walk in the footsteps of Christ on some levels and just begin to see why he made some of the statements that he made. You know, it's like the Bible just came alive. And, meditate and surround ourselves with the Word of God, it just makes these experiences more vivid and more alive.
Amen. And I'm going to stop, Bishop, right there, because that's going to be like your tantalizing treat that we will have him next week. Come on and give us some real time experiences that he can share, some of his memoirs of the script, and I'm telling you, it is phenomenal. And if you will just send me your email address, I can send y'all some pictures too. So you'll be looking at the pictures and looking at Bishop. And so we're not going to get into home much deeper. We're going to want y'all to be hungry and thirsty for the real, the whole scroll. Okay? Hallelujah. Okay. With the good, the bad, and the ugly. Okay? And it will all be forthcoming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So now we know what we're going to do next week. Okay? And Bishop would be so kind as to agree to do that for us.
That is no problem.
Amen. So now I'm going to type that up on Words for the Word for next week, and I hope there's enough numbers in here that nobody can talk. We just let this. No, I'm just kidding. Praise the Lord for the fellowship. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, for those that lingered on a little while, y'all got a treat. So because some people had already hung up. So y'all get
it. Oh, I didn't.
No, I didn't. Okay.
Amen. All right. Praise God.
Yeah,
I definitely
look forward to sharing. It's just amazing, and I think the more I talk about it, it just helps me to appreciate it more, and I don't want to forget,
because
it was very humbling.
Amen.
And I'll share that with you guys.
Mm.
It's very humbling.
Amen. Amen. Is my little man there listening? Isaiah?
He's in the kitchen listening to Paw Patrol. I know he called you this morning.
Yes, he did. And so he was talking, and I'm thinking it's 2 minutes to showtime, right? But Isaiah is talking. I'm thinking, tell your daddy, Blog Talk.
When I heard you say Blog Talk, I said, oh, snap, I forgot. Once again, y'all got to forgive me. I was telling my father I don't even know what day it is today. I'm still trying to get adjusted to the time.
I was like, what's
today? Saturday? Monday? He's like, no, it's Friday.
It's Friday. It's Friday.
I was like, missed some days somewhere. So
you got extra ones, remember?
Right.
So
my birthday was also this past week on the 31st. And, people were texting and saying happy birthday. Thank you, gentlemen. People were saying happy birthday. And one of my friends texted, wow, God literally gave you 2 days, a two-day birthday. And I had to think about it for a moment. And I was like, yo, that's so true. So it was the 31st over there already. And the 31st didn't even hit America yet. And so by the time I was traveling, I was traveling on my birthday here. So it was cool because I celebrated out there all day. And then when I got on the plane, the 31st didn't even hit America yet. And so, you know, it's just like, you know, that double blessing, double anointing, call it what you want. It was
Amen. Glory to God.
Just to see that in real life.
And tell them how old you are.
41.
Okay. So 41. You know what happened after 40 years, right? Hallelujah. From the land. All right.
Praise the Lord, buddy.
Hallelujah. All right. Glory. Great. I just was wondering if my little kingdom church member was listening a little bit, so that's why I asked. But praise God. I know we have young people on the line. I thank God for you and for your input. That is awesome. Huh? Yes, such a soft voice. Okay.
So that was just Miss Isaiah saying, can we go back to Chicago?
This is Overseer on the radio.
Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. Okay, because he wanted to know if I was in church. If I guess he wanted to know if I didn't came to church.
No, but you can say hi to people.
Not in starting something. Bitch, you gotta work that out, okay?
But he said he didn't even say hi.
Thank you. He can say hi online. That'd be wonderful.
So yeah, he said, I don't want to say hi no more. I said hi already.
Okay. Yes, he did. Okay. No problem.
Okay,
all right. Well, thank everybody. Thank God for the special treat and the special, visitation. Hallelujah. And for direction for next week. Amen. Amen. Amen.
All right. Amen.
Okay.
Well, we have
Thank
been
you
blessed.
Fight me Amen. On here. I enjoyed that.
Well, thank you. We have Sister Denise. Hallelujah. And
oh,
you did.
Nice.
I love the scripture read that way. Awesome.
Amen.
Thank you so much. We so need each other. You know,
yes,
we can't
we
do it alone. And when we all come together, what that song say? What a joy it's gonna be.
What
a joy it. Absolutely, there's a rejoicing right now. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Friday fellowship. Amen.
Hallelujah.
So we do encourage you to, you know, come with us again. Hallelujah.
All righty, I will. So that's every Friday.
Okay, thank you. Every Friday, yes, ma'am, at 9 a.m. Amen.
Amen.
Invite your friends. Thank you.
Okay.
Margaret invited her some friends. We'll invite one another. Thank you all. God bless you.
God bless.
Amen.
Okay. Bye bye.
Amen. Bye bye.
Bye bye. Bye bye.
Bye bye.